the streets of Soho in the rain. He was looking for the place called Lee Ho Fooks. Gonna get a big dish of beef chow mein.
Ooh, here we are howling at the moon.
Welcome, listeners, to a very special show. This is Once in a Blue Blood Supermoon. My name is Raleigh Burley. I'm joined by Amy Haddon Marsh.
Hi.
And Whitney Will. Hey, Whitney.
Hi.
Well, a little Warren Zevon to start off the special show. And we've got this super blue blood moon coming up actually tomorrow morning here in Colorado. And, you know, we've been note-taking and talking with Whitney, who is a student astrologer, probably knows more about astrology than most people who call themselves astrologers but aren't students. But, you know, a little bit about the science behind it from Earth Sky. We used to air Earth and Sky here, but from earthsky.org, the blue moon doesn't mean that the moon's going to turn blue. It just is a sort of an old traditional way of saying that there are two moons in one month. So this is the blue moon of January. And there's going to be eclipse. The last supermoon total eclipse was in September of 2015. The last blue moon total eclipse was 150 years ago. However, I think that's only for the Americas. I don't think it's... No, it wasn't for the Americas. It's a little confusing. The first blue moon total eclipse in 150 years, well... says earthsky.org. It depends on where you live. Let's see. It's only true for time zones in and around the Americas, not for the rest of the world. So
that may have something to do with the Gregorian calendar and the fact that, you know, this is two full moons in January. The first moon was the very first day of January.
Mm-hmm.
And so this month allotted for one moon in the very beginning, one in the very end, which isn't very common. But I believe if we reach way back, then there was another measurement for blue moons before they were using mm-hmm. months like January.
So do you know anything more about that?
I think it had something to do with the astrological signs, but I'm not too much sure about more than that.
Okay. Well, speaking of astrological signs, Whitney Will, why don't you tell us a little bit about this super blue blood moon?
Yeah, it's a mouthful. Well, I mean, we can kind of break down its giant title into three parts. The super moon just means that the moon is in the part of its orbit where it is pretty close to the Earth. So it will appear about 30% larger than normal full moons. The blue moon, as Amy just said, is the second full moon in a month. And this year is actually really special because normally there's one blue moon a year. And this year we actually have two. February does not have a full moon at all. And January had one on the 1st and one on the 31st. And March will do the same. So it's just a trick of the calendar.
We'll have two moons in March?
We'll have two full moons again.
In March.
So the second full moon in March will also be a blue moon.
I don't feel like that's happened in my lifetime.
I know. It's a trick of the calendar, and it can only work in this way because of how short February is.
Okay.
It could only ever happen with two in January and two in March.
Wow. And is it just me, or are there more super moons than there used to be?
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, every time I turn around, there's another super moon.
Right.
Well, super moon just means the moon is in perigee, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's at the closest to the Earth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's been going on ever since the moon and the earth were connected.
Oh, so, yeah. But it seems like it's being reported more and more.
I think right. that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the blood part of the moon refers to the eclipse and the color that the moon will turn during the eclipse.
And you have recorded, Amy, what times we might be able to see that occur here in Colorado, isn't that right?
Yeah, it's going to be a little tricky, I think. And this is according to the the Astronomical Almanac. The eclipse begins at 4:48 in the morning, and that's tomorrow morning.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have to either stay up really late or get up really early. The total eclipse begins at 6:08, 5:52 a.m. So just as you're getting up to start listening to Steve Cole in the morning, take a look out your window because the eclipse is beginning. The total eclipse is beginning. The greatest eclipse, which I'm assuming is, you
totality.
Know, yeah. is at supposed to be close to 6:30. So 6:29, 6:30 in the morning, the total eclipse ends at 7:08. Now, the moon is supposed to set here, Mountain Standard Time, Carbondale, at 7:21 in the morning. So I don't think we can expect to see, if we look up in the sky,
mm-hmm.
directly above us, I don't think we can expect to see a full moon eclipse like we did in September.
Well, on the western horizon, though, so if you can get up high enough, maybe White Hill, and look out towards the west, then you might catch that blood red supermoon setting.
Yeah, the tail of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah. Because the shadow will move off of the moon, it sounds like, just before it sets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what... According to all of this, probably about 10 minutes before it sets.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you'll be able to get some of the eclipse if you follow the moon in the morning. But I don't know. I guess it'll be, you know, it'll be a surprise.
Science-y question, but interesting phenomena that the Earth's shadow should cause it to be red. You'd think that's some infrared light or most of the light's being blocked of the sun, but somehow that red light is still, you know, being reflected off of the moon.
I have no idea if it's the ultra-red?
I'm ultraviolet? Not sure which light it is on the spectrum.
Hmm.
But red remains for some reason, while all the other lights are going to be blocked out by the Earth. If any callers want to let us know why that is, any scientists out there listening to the show, then we'd appreciate a call.
963-2976. And we're talking about the super blue blood moon, not super blue blood moon, but the super blue blood moon that's supposed to occur this morning. About 12 more hours it'll start. I think it's very exciting. You know, I think it's interesting to take a look at some of the psychological and astrological aspects of this, which is why Raleigh called Whitney in to talk with us about it. We have a caller. Should we see what's happening here on the phone? Caller, you're on the air.
Cool. This is Sage.
Hi, Sage.
Just calling from the highway. I'm between Newcastle and Eagle right now, but I heard your discussion about red color of the moon. And there is an explanation for that. It has to do with the composition of our Earth's atmosphere.
Great. So because the Earth's atmosphere is what?
It's actually water vapor in our atmosphere that filters out blue light.
Oh. Okay.
And then light also bends around objects. So the Earth being larger than the moon, we have light going through our atmosphere at the pole, and it bends around and lands on the moon, and the water in the atmosphere has filtered out the blue, so it appears red.
Well, that's wonderful.
Thank you, Sage.
Yeah, thanks for calling in. Anything else you want to add?
I'll just keep up the great discussions. Oh. I love listening while I commute.
Okay, well, thanks for calling in. Appreciate it. That was Sage calling in about why the moon is red during these things. So, astrological, tell us about Whitney Will. Tell us about the, this is a full moon eclipse in Leo.
In Leo.
Okay, what does that mean?
So all that means is that the full moon is happening in Leo. So
we've got another call. Hang on, sorry. Caller, you're on the air. This is Katie and Kay.
Hi, you're still talking about the eclipse?
We are.
Oh, I used to work for an observatory. Was there something that you wanted cleared up? Something about the color of the moon? There's one thing I heard that we should clear up.
Okay.
The moon won't look 30% larger. It will be 14% larger and 30% brighter.
Oh, okay. Great. All right. Appreciate that cleanup. Yeah, we just talked with somebody. We were curious about why the moon's color is red when the Earth eclipses the moon. And we heard that it's because of light and the color of Earth's and the light in Earth's atmosphere.
The water in the Earth's atmosphere filters out the blue light, and then the light bends around the Earth and reflects red on the moon.
Oh, I didn't hear that. That's what I was going to let you know, it's because of the longer wavelengths, or the red wavelengths. And so all of them are going to be blocked except for those that escape around the limb.
Okay.
The Earth doesn't have an edge, it's a spirit, but the light that makes it around there. So it's almost like all of the sunrises and sunsets are that light, that kind of light.
Okay.
The furthest bent from those events are then projected onto the moon.
Neat.
And you mentioned astrology several times.
Yes, we have a student astrologer here, and she's just getting ready to tell us a little bit about some of the astrological aspects of the super blue blood moon eclipse.
Oh, astrology. So you're not talking about astronomy?
We're talking a little bit of both here.
Oh. Well, that's confusing for people to do that. This is an astronomical event. Doesn't have anything to do with astrology.
Well, we've got an astrologer here who may disagree. It is an astronomical event, and astrologists believe that there is some sort of psychological aspect to this. So we're going to hear that side of it, too. But thanks so much for calling in. Really appreciate it.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
So back to the astrology. It is an astronomical event, but why does this, an astronomical event, have an astrological effect?
Well, I think the first thing to note is that originally in ancient cultures, there isn't a difference between astronomy and astrology.
Mm-hmm.
And so those two subjects are very integrated.
Okay.
And it's easy to see how that would be. I mean, from the very beginning, when the sun goes down, the stars come up, and what we do as humans is we recognize patterns. So we start recognizing patterns in the heavens and the way things are moving, and the sun being farther up in the sky and giving us more daylight, or, you know, and we start to put together these models. And we're also connecting that with our daily lives as ancient humans.
Mm-hmm.
So that's connected to our life cycle, and most of our spiritual beliefs as early humans are related to observable nature.
Right.
So we are connected in a personal way with these astronomical events. And once our models get really good, we see almost, you know, a lot of mathematics comes from the joining together of the beautiful logic of geometry with the observable world and trying to fudge that together.
Mm-hmm.
But those things aren't really distinct for a long time. And we also have astrology is as old as astronomy.
Mm-hmm.
We have Hellenistic astrologers in ancient Greece,
mm-hmm,
that are contemporary with all of the math that gave rise to the astronomy that we know today, and then that continued to happen through medieval Europe and has a big basis in Western culture.
Mm-hmm.
So
back to the astrology yeah. of this super so, blue, blood yeah. red eclipse moon
yeah.
in Leo.
So let's talk about that. So this is actually kind of part two of a larger story. Eclipses happen in a pair of signs, so opposite signs in the zodiac, over a period of about 18 months. So about every 6 months, we get eclipse season. And that kind of sets the tone of the next 6 months. And astrologers would say that the effects of each eclipse last for a full 6 months until we have the next eclipse season. So right now we are about a year into the Aquarius-Leo eclipse cycle. So some of you may remember the Great American Eclipse.
Last August.
Mm-hmm, August 21st, 2017, that happened in Leo, and that was during the Leo new moon. And this is the Leo full moon.
Wow, it's sort of a culmination of kind of a wrap-up, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
And we're saying Leo a lot, but Aquarius is very much tied in with that. The sun is in Aquarius, so that polarity is still very much active.
That's really interesting. So in terms of any kind of possible psychological impacts, or, I mean, a lot of people set intentions around full moons, new moons, eclipses. It's also the Wiccan calendar is taking a look at Imbolc, first day of spring, coming up on Friday. What kind of psychological impacts does this portend or bookend with the great August, the Great American Eclipse?
Yeah.
Does that make any sense,
yeah,
what I'm
does.
Saying?
Yeah. So I think what's important to note is the tension between Aquarius and Leo is the tension between the community and the individual, between the collective and the strong sense of self. So what we're seeing with this 18-month eclipse cycle, which will end next August, is kind of this shaking up and churning of the balance in each of our individual lives and also collectively between how strong we are in ourselves and our sense of leadership and our sense of pride and our duty to the collective and the community and the ways in which we compromise ourselves to serve the community. So that's the tension. And so what eclipses allow us to do in really striking ways is to kind of mute one or the other of the luminaries. So in the solar eclipse, when we lose the sun, the power of our instinctual and intuitive selves, as represented by the moon, takes precedent and can show us its truth unadulterated by the sun. And in the lunar eclipse, we can kind of mute and soften that instinctual and intuitive self and have a lot of clarity from the sun.
Go ahead, Marley.
Would you prescribe any practice or ritual or intention if people really want to hop on the energy of what's occurring around us? What would you recommend for setting intentions or doing anything with it?
Yeah. So because it is the full moon, we have the full moon, regardless of the eclipse, is the maximum tension because the moon is in its full strength.
Mm-hmm.
So the moon in its full strength in Leo fills us with the power of ourselves and our self-righteousness and our pride. And so having that eclipse allows us to take a look at where that is getting out of hand and do kind of a radical rebalancing. I would also say full moons are not the time to start something new. They are the time to work towards completion,
mm-hmm.
Or towards ending a cycle. So if you have noticed in your life and maybe more in the last year, the ways in which you could serve the community more or kind of come more into balance with being strong in yourself and a strong participant in your community for the good of all, this is a good time to set intentions around that and watch the way in which they could develop over the next 6 months until we have our final eclipse of the cycle, which happens in late July of this year.
So late July is the final eclipse in the Aquarian Leo cycle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think I'm getting it.
And early July will be the first eclipse in the Cancer Capricorn.
Oh. So there are always three eclipses in each cycle?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah. It's a kind of a complicated
pattern.
It's
very complicated. That's interesting.
I heard Cody Lee, our music guy here at the station, talking about pruning tomorrow. So maybe we can think of pruning plants or even pruning aspects of our own lives.
Right. So this wouldn't be a time to plant. It'd be time for haircuts.
Haircuts.
Uh-huh. Haircuts.
You know, this is, we're talking about the super blue blood moon eclipse that's coming up. And just to let people know, I'm here with Raleigh Burley, news director at KD&K, and Whitney Will, who's a student astrologer who knows her stuff. And these are, you know, these are our opinions. They are not necessarily the opinions of KD&K or the board or the staff, even though we're staff. Just thought it would be an interesting show to kind of remind people of a celestial event that's an astronomical event, not a gastronomical, but an astronomical event, unless you cook a big meal for the to celebrate. And it's also an astrological event. And we've been taking some calls to answer some of the astronomical questions. We still have a few minutes left. If you care to give us a call and add a comment, the number is 963-2976. Anything else you want to add, Whitney Will, about some of the astrological effects or impacts of this?
Yeah. So, you know, the sun and the moon are kind of stealing the show right now, definitely. But there are other planets at work in this event. One aspect that has been ongoing for several weeks now is a sextile between Jupiter and Pluto. Jupiter is in Scorpio and Pluto is in Capricorn. And that really allows us to take a good, hard look at the shadowy parts of ourselves. Pluto and Capricorn is pretty entrenched in the shadow. And Jupiter in Scorpio loves to kind of explore the underworld of things. So we have that going on, which is kind of deeper and darker. But then we have Mars in the first degrees of Sagittarius sextiling Mercury, who has just entered Aquarius. So we have this optimistic momentum from Mars, who just wants to accomplish things and go the distance, with all of the mental clarity of Mercury in Aquarius. And Mercury is the planet of our intellect, and Aquarius is one of his strongholds, because Aquarius has the ability to be detached from situations, to see clearly. So it's a great time to process a lot of stuff.
That's what it sounds like.
For listeners who are tuning in now, just a reminder that if you want to catch the blood moon aspect of this super blue blood moon, it's best to wake up early tomorrow morning around 6 a.m., listen to Steve Cole, and send your eyes towards the western horizon, and you should see it setting.
Yeah, it's you should be able to see the greatest part of the eclipse around 6:30 in the morning. And the moon sets around 7:21, about an hour later. I want to thank Raleigh Burley.
Thank you, Amy Haddon Marsh.
And Whitney Will. Thanks very much for sharing some of your knowledge with us. And thanks to the callers who gave us some clarity on some of the more astronomical aspects of the super blue blood moon eclipse.
And related to the full eclipse over the summer of the sun. This is visible in the United States, especially the Western United States, but not necessarily the whole world. So feel fortunate.
Yeah, and get out there and get up early and watch the eclipse. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for Pulse of the Planet.